Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Abram Ganey. This podcast is designed for everything college football. We'll talk games, we'll make picks, predictions, projections, recruiting, hot seats, everything to do with college football. In this episode, we're just going to recap week one and then look into the AP poll that dropped today. So let's start on Thursday this past week, where we had, as some would claim, the national champs in UCF. They took on UConn. And from the start, UCF was by far the better team. They won this game 56-17. Mackenzie Milton started his quote-unquote Heisman campaign, going 24 for 32 for 346 and 5 touchdowns. So big numbers for them. I believe UCF is the best non-Power 5 team in the nation. Others may disagree, may say it's Boise State, but I'm sticking with UCF. They should win a lot of games this year. On Friday, we had a couple ranked matchups. We had number 4 Wisconsin playing host to Western Kentucky, where they picked up where they left off, and so did their star running back, Jonathan Taylor, who had 145 and 2 touchdowns. He's also up there on the Heisman candidates. Another Big Ten matchup had 11 Michigan State bring in Utah State and East Lansing, where that one was a very close game, surprisingly. It's kind of scary for week one, being number 11 in the nation and playing host to a Mountain West team and giving up some points as well as making it come down to the wire. Utah State led that game with 5 minutes left. Michigan State fought back to win that game. Props to them for closing it out, but it is a little worrisome. Considering Michigan State is supposed to be one of the top teams this year. As well as we had number 13 Stanford played host to San Diego State. Biggest storyline of that game. Stanford did win, but Bryce Love did not live up to the hype in this game. Although it is game one, it is a little bit of a flag considering it was San Diego State's defense. Hopefully you can pick it up because he's a lot of people's Heisman's front runner. Now let's dive into some of the Saturday games. Let's start with the blowouts, you know. Number 1, Bama took on Louisville and Orlando. Shocker. Tua's the starter, so that big question gets answered. Bama goes out there and absolutely destroys Louisville, putting up a 51 spot on them. Tua looked great. This team is going to be a nightmare on both sides of the ball, especially now that they have a dominant quarterback like Tua Tagovailoa. And Louisville was just no match. I think Louisville has a good young team, but against Bama week one with a new quarterback trying to replace Lamar Jackson, it was too tall of a task. Number 2, Clemson played a cupcake in Furman. The biggest storyline of this game was Trevor Lawrence got some snaps and he looked the part. Trevor Lawrence went 9 for 15 for 137 and 3 touchdowns. I believe when the going gets tough this season and they're in a close game and Kelly Bryant's playing pretty, if he plays pretty bad, I think they're going to substitute Lawrence in. And Trevor Lawrence is going to show the nation why he was one of the top quarterbacks coming out of high school. I think he'll win that job by mid-season. Going down the list, number 3, Georgia played Austin Peay. Blew him out as well, 45-0. Whole team looked great. Fields got some snaps, even though Jake Fromm played amazing as well. I don't like this notion. If you think about this notion of Georgia, like this rift between quarterbacks, people want to make this rift between Fields and Fromm, but Fromm, to me, is the guy you stick with regardless. I mean, Fromm, as a true freshman, came in and took UGA the national championship game. Fields is extremely talented. I know he is. But unless Fromm goes down or he's playing terribly, there should not be any discussion of another quarterback playing in Athens. Number 5, Ohio State rolled over Oregon State, putting up 77 without Urban Meyer on the sidelines as he continues that 3-game suspension. Dwayne Haskins got the start, went 22 for 30. For 313 and 5 touchdowns, very impressive, as well as Mike Weber putting up 186 on the ground with 3 touchdowns. My only concern for Ohio State is giving up 31 to an Oregon State team was not very good, in my opinion, but putting up a 77 spot is huge, and getting the win is the most important. Now, number 7, Oklahoma played FAU and Lane Kiffin, and I'll be honest, I thought FAU would hang in this game longer or put up more points, but Kyler Murray and Oklahoma proved me wrong. They put up 28 in the first quarter on their way to winning 63-14. Murray had a huge game and looked like they didn't miss a beat without Baker Mayfield. They are my Big 12 favorite and should run through the Big 12, with the exception of West Virginia, I think, being their toughest competitor. Now, Penn State had a close one. Number 10 Penn State played host to Appalachian State, who Appalachian State usually plays these big teams. They usually play pretty well against bigger teams, as you can tell when they beat Michigan way back when, one of the biggest upsets of college football history. App State took them to overtime, where Penn State got a pick in the end zone to seal the deal, winning 45-38. McSorley looked good, but the biggest thing for Penn State is replacing Saquon, and Saquon Barkley was by far the best back in college football last year, and him being the number two pick in the draft shows why. Miles Sanders comes in to replace him. He had 91 on the ground with two touchdowns, but the defense is a little worrisome, giving up 38 to Appalachian State, including 28 in the fourth quarter alone. And another Big Ten team like Michigan State playing a lower tier team very close on week one, kind of eye-opening. Number 15, USC, played UNLV. JT Daniels, their new freshman quarterback, looked great on en route to winning 43-21. Number 16, TCU, played a cupcake in Southern. That's an easy win for them. Number 17, West Virginia, played a Tennessee team who was ready to get the season started. They played Tennessee, hung with them the first half. It was 13-7 at halftime. They had a huge rain delay, but West Virginia just pounded on them after the rain delay in the second half. Will Greer was amazing. He's my Heisman front runner to me. He went 25 for 34 for 429 and 5 touchdowns. Those numbers are insane. I think West Virginia will battle Oklahoma for that spot in the Big 12. Number 18, Mississippi State took on Stephen F. Austin. Blowout, 63-6. The only storyline in that game would probably be Nick Fitzgerald not playing due to a violation of team rules. Boise State traveled to Troy, where they beat down on Troy 56-20. I think Boise State is just behind UCF as the non-Power 5 schools to try to get in a New Year's Six Bowl. I think they're talented. Number 24, Oregon, wiped out Bowling Green. Justin Herbert looked good. One of everybody's favorite quarterback going into this year. One of everybody's favorite quarterbacks, Justin Herbert, had 5 touchdowns in that game. Now, a head-scratcher for me would be this Texas-Maryland game. Last year, Maryland beats Texas in Texas. You say, oh, well, it's Tom Herman's first year. No big deal. But year two, you lose to a Maryland team who was actually less talented than the team they played last year. And Texas should be more talented than they were last year. But from my perspective, watching that game, Texas did not look motivated at all. They came out flat. The team had no energy. And Maryland played with heart and passion. They played for their offensive lineman who died during the summer, Jordan McNair. Great, it was a great start for that Maryland team. And they took down Texas, where a lot of people are just shocked at that. And I know it's only year two for Tom Herman, but that starts to heat up a little bit of a negative energy in Austin, because you don't perform, they could get a little antsy and want someone else in there. So that was a big, big shocker to me, but I'm happy for that Maryland team. Now let's get into some of the better games on this Saturday. Let's start with the Michigan-Notre Dame game. This game had so much intrigue, and I'll be honest, I bought into the Michigan hype. I thought Shea Patterson coming in would be a huge lift, because Harbaugh really never has had a quarterback, in my opinion. He comes in, and Michigan falls flat on their face in South Bend. I mean, people did give Notre Dame a shot, but the majority of people thought Michigan would come into Notre Dame and beat them based off that defense and having a quarterback, but they just looked... They looked honestly terrible. Even though they only lost by 7, I don't think it was close to the score shows. I mean, give credit to Notre Dame and Wimbush. Wimbush looked good. Last year he had problems with accuracy down the field, but he made a lot of deep throws. And Notre Dame's defense played good as well, but Michigan is a head-scratcher. And that seat for Harbaugh is heating up ever so more. After a loss like that, with all the hype and anticipation for the season opener, it makes people wonder if Harbaugh's the right fit there. The biggest game on Saturday, though, had to have been in the Mercedes-Benz Dome in Atlanta, where number 6 Washington took on number 9 Auburn in a battle of defenses. Talk about two great defenses. Both teams were in the red zone plenty of times and hardly came out with points alone. I mean, Auburn forced 2 turnovers, which helped them catapult to a 21-16 win. Stidham and Browning both looked good, but I feel like the Auburn defense rattled Browning a lot. I think Auburn's front 7 is top 3 in the nation, without a doubt. Auburn's only problems are on the offensive line and the running game. If they ever got that figured out, their team is almost fully complete. And I would argue that Washington's not out of this playoff race yet because they lost to an Auburn team, which was basically in a home environment for Auburn in the Mercedes-Benz Dome in Atlanta. And Washington can run the table easily in the Pac-12, I think. And if they do that and other things fall right, I think they should be in the playoff. Now for the game on Sunday night, which was another huge head-scratcher for me. Even though I did think LSU would win this game against Miami, I did not think Miami would look that terrible and LSU look that good. I think it was a mix of both Miami playing awful and LSU playing out of their mind because people are biting onto the hype of LSU, which I think that's just settled down just a tad, even though I do think they're going to be a much improved team. LSU broke in their new quarterback, Joe Burrow, Ohio State transfer, looked good at times, but not too much tape to go off of. I think they found their new back in Nick Brossette, who had 22 carries for 125 and 2 touchdowns. It's good to have him because the last few years they relied on Gysom Fournette as their bell cow, so hopefully he can step up into that role. But I just think Miami looked really sloppy. Malik Rozier, 15 for 35. That's a very low completion percentage. Not much good coming out of that game for Miami, but a lot good coming out of LSU for that game. And that was a huge win for the SEC as a whole. And now for the cap on Monday night to wrap up week one, which was a very exciting week of football. Number 20 VTech went to number 19 Florida State. And from the very beginning of that game, Virginia Tech looked like they had more energy, more physicality, more passion, and more. They had more will to win, I think. It looked like they wanted to win that game 10 times more than Florida State did. And this game had huge implications because you have implications for the college football playoff. You also have ACC implications, which is huge. I mean, first game of the season, you lose it. It's an ACC game, and you put yourself behind the eight ball already. But Florida State, their play calling wasn't very good, I don't think. The defense showed flashes at times, being pinned in their deep and getting stops. But as a whole, Florida State did not look very good. It's not good for Willie Taggart to start off on this foot, but he'll probably get this thing turned around, I think. It's game one. Francois, I'm glad he came back from that injury last year. He'll get his legs under him. I think Florida State will get back, but that's a big setback, I think, week one-wise against VTech. Now let's look at the AP poll for week two. Let's see. I'll give you my little thoughts on it. Let's see. 1, 2, and 3, of course, the same. Bama, Clemson, Georgia, those are the top three teams in my opinion, too. Ohio State jumps Wisconsin and is number 4 now. Wisconsin moves back to 5. Oklahoma goes from 7 to 6. Auburn jumps 2 spots to number 7 after their win against Washington. Notre Dame jumps 4 spots to number 8 after the win against Michigan. Washington falls to number 9 after their loss to Auburn. Stanford jumps 3 spots to 10. Now LSU makes a huge jump from 25 to 11, a 14-spot jump after their dismantling of Miami. Another big jump would be VTech jumping from 20 to 12 after knocking off Florida State. And that bad Florida State, that was a bad loss to Florida State, I think. Penn State drops down 3 spots from 10 to 13. West Virginia jumps 3 spots up from 17 to 14. Michigan State drops 4 spots as well, which makes sense. You see two Big Ten teams, Penn State and Michigan State, who played lower-tier teams and both took them to the wire, which means you're going to drop spots in the AP ranking. TCU stays at 16. USC drops to 17. Mississippi State stays at 18. UCF jumps 2 spots to 19. Boise jumps 2 spots to 20. Michigan drops 7 spots to 21. And Miami drops 14 spots to 22. Oregon jumps 1 spot to 23. And we have two new teams, South Carolina coming in at number 24, and Florida coming in at 25. Now, my thoughts on this AP poll, I do think LSU moving up to 11 is a little bit high. I would have thought they'd be at number 15 maybe. But after week one, the voters do like to blow up expectations and overreact to week one. I think Auburn, it's very minor, but I think Auburn should be 6. Based off beating number 6, I think you basically swap with Washington. As Washington's number 9 now, I think Auburn should be number 6. And I do think South Carolina and Florida are top 25 teams, so I think it's good that they're back in the rankings now. And that's going to be it for episode 1. Episode 2, we'll talk about this upcoming week 2 games, and you'll get my picks. You get some upset picks. We'll talk about the week 2 as a whole. It should be a very exciting week. I'm looking forward to it. And thanks for tuning in.